Welcome in, everyone, to the Investing in Real Estate show. Today is our Q&A episode where we answer your questions about real estate investing or financing. And this show is totally designed to help you become a smarter, savvier real estate investor for any range on the spectrum that you happen to be, beginner, middle, more advanced. So go ahead and smash that like button and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already done so. All right, a little bit about me. My name is Clayton Morris. I'm the founder of Morris Invest, website right here. And we're a full-service rental real estate company. So build about 400, 450 homes per year, brand new construction with our teams, and provide full-service turnkey rentals for our clients. So they're already completed with a tenant already in place. So that's a little bit about my history, having done thousands of real estate deals over the years. All right, without further ado, today is one of our Q&A episodes. So you get to ask a question and we get to answer them. We have three great questions from our audience. Now, I like to not listen to these in advance so that I am fresh and ready to give you my honest assessment of these. So you can leave me a voicemail question very easily by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Just go to our website and right there, you'll be able to leave me a voicemail. Try to keep it to about 30 seconds if you'd be so kind. All right, our first question comes from Greg. Let's listen to Greg.
Hey, I have a question. So by next year of July 31st, 2021, I anticipate to accumulate a total of $50,000 in cash. And so because I'm going to accumulate that amount of money, I'm trying to decide whether or not I want to use the $50,000 to pay off my credit card debt, which just so happens to be close to $50,000. Or do I want to use half of that cash that I'm going to receive and put towards the debt? Or do I want to just put towards all of my $50,000 towards my real estate journey? So any type of assistance or guidance that you can provide will definitely help me. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Greg. That's a tough question. It's one of those things where I've always said I would never go all in on one direction. You know, so if you have that debt, that is, of course, not good debt. There's always a difference between good debt and bad debt. And so credit card debt, where it's 18, 20, 22% is bad debt. Now, would I take all of my personal cash and put it towards that? No. So I would definitely want to be investing, because if you're only just playing catch up on debt your whole life, you're never going to be able to have investments. You're never going to start investing in real estate. So one thing I would consider doing is on our website, we're here right on our website. If you go up to the funding tab on the top part, and click on that, you'll be able to find out about some low interest funding options for you, 0% interest that you'll be able to take advantage of, where you could take that high interest credit card debt and roll it into some of these zero interest credit card payments. And then you can keep rolling that for years while you tackle getting some money towards that primary debt on those credit cards, paying it down slowly over time, basically using other people's money. And that's what I used to do. I used to go after those credit cards back in the day, tackle that snowball strategy. But I used to then roll a lot of that higher interest debt over into lower interest credit cards. They usually will give you an introductory rate for a year to 18 months. So try our funding tab at morrisinvest.com. That might be an option for you. The second thing I would do is, yes, definitely take that money that you have, take half of it or so, and put it towards a down payment on a rental property and start to build some income, start to build some cash flow and increase your net worth, because you're not getting any younger and that credit card debt is just going to sit there and sit there and sit there. And if you spend all of your cash on that credit card debt, you're sitting at zero again. And how long until you're then able to accrue that money for a down payment on a rental property? So this is the strategy that I've done. I'm not a financial advisor and I'm not an attorney, but this is exactly how I did it, which was take half of my money towards debt, pay that down using these different strategies that I just told you about, but also started to invest in real estate to create and improve my net worth position and start to create some cash flow in my life. Then I'm getting the tax benefits of that. I'm opening a business, so I'm getting that aspect of it on my taxes. A whole list of things, then sky becomes the limit once you start to invest in real estate in that way. So Greg, I hope you found that helpful. Okay, our next question comes to us from Mark. Let's listen to Mark.
Maybe I'm just looking for an easy answer, but I've got four rental houses that are paid off and I've got plenty of equity. I just need to find some place to borrow it against. That's what I'm looking for. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, so you're looking to borrow against those four rental properties. There's plenty of portfolio options out there. And to be able to, or even if those properties themselves are overpriced and you want to then roll those into a 1031 exchange. So on our website at Morris Invest, we've got a whole blog post all about the 1031 exchange. that you might find helpful. So think about that. You know, are these properties like way overpriced and they're paid off, and you might be able to take that equity and those positions and those overpriced properties where the ROI is not that high and roll them into some lower cost, higher ROI properties in better landlord friendly states like Texas or Tennessee or those types of places. You know, we can help you with that. But if that's not your option, you're not moving, you're not interested in a 1031 exchange, and you're wanting to take equity out of those particular rental properties and roll those into additional assets, there are all kinds of private lenders, hard money lenders. You might look at like direct lending partners, DLP as an option that will give you money against those particular assets. We've mentioned here on the show, we'll link it up in the show notes. Dan Krause, my friend down at Churchill Mortgage, has been able to help our audience do home equity lines on their existing rental properties. So those are a few options. We'll have those linked up in the show notes for you, and I would encourage you to check those out. Mark, it's not the easy way out. Look, you know, we look around, we try to get advice on where we can try to get different options and where we can try to get different financing options that are available to us. And you need to reach out to people to get that assistance. So I hope you find that helpful, Mark. Again, DLP, friend Dan Krause at Churchill Mortgage, does a number of states across the country, and it's been great to help a lot of our clients do that as well. So check those out. All right, William has a question here. Let's listen.
Morning, Clayton Morris. This is Will Barago. I'm out here in Denton, Texas. Been a big follower. You and Natalie finally took action. So we do have a property currently bringing in $1,200 a month, but I'm paying almost $4,000 plus on property taxes. And so I'm just trying to figure out, you're a big fan of Texas, but how do we mitigate as far as this property taxes? Because, I mean, I'm doing the math and it's killing me. So I just wanted to visit with you and see what your thoughts are. I don't know, maybe Lubbock, Texas is a little bit different as far as property taxes, but here in Denton, not that good. And I know I've checked out some folks out in Dallas, DFW area. So let me know what your thoughts are, how we can mitigate this property taxes. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you.
Thank you, William.
Best of luck.
Thank you. Appreciate the question, William. I appreciate it. So he was talking about Lubbock, Texas, because that's where we build a lot of our new construction properties for our clients. Like the pictures, if you're watching the video version, these are some of our new construction duplexes right here, before and after, just as an example. But yes, property taxes, much different there than they are in Denton, Texas, and Dallas, Texas, et cetera. So where we are out in the West Texas area is a lot more affordable, a lot cheaper. However, I want you to remember something when you're looking at ROI. So we're making sure, William, that when we are building these properties and, you know, full service with a tenant in place and all of the factors that go into our building materials and everything else that we're doing, that we are taking a look at all of these things, property taxes and rent return in these particular properties. We're making sure, of course, that these properties that we're showing you behind me here are going to have a really nice return on investment despite the property taxes, that the property taxes are already figured into this formula. And we have a blog post. I would encourage you to come over and read the whole thing. We actually have a full video right here on our channel about property taxes. So check that video out right here on our channel. I'm going to link it up here in a card in the YouTube video, and we'll have a link to it in the podcast subscription description below. But you have to understand property taxes is often indicative of better property areas. So if you understand that, okay, I might be paying more in property taxes, but I'm also probably going to be getting a better class of tenant, better school districts. There's a whole bunch of things that go into having a higher property tax. And I know people scoff at the idea of paying those additional taxes. And this is not always true. Like, for instance, in New Jersey, property taxes are off the charts in many areas, and they're disproportionate with the return on investment that you would get. But paying really, really low property taxes, almost non-existent property taxes, can often mean that the infrastructure in those areas is not good. You don't have the great schools. You don't have the great police departments. You don't have the great fire departments. You have higher crime, right? So when you have higher property taxes, people are willing to pay that because they're getting better services. They're getting better municipal services. And they're also getting a better class of tenant who's willing to stay longer because the school districts are better. There's lower crime. There's more of a community sense. All of those things play into it. So again, check out that video right here on our channel, and also check out the blog post right here. If you go to morrisinvest.com, click on the little blog tab right there, and you can go through that. We have a whole thing on property taxes on our website. Also, I would check out this lower taxes tab while you're there, because working with our great tax team, you're able then to mitigate these taxes by doing all sorts of smarter investment moves and planning throughout the year on your taxes to keep those taxes incredibly low. So there's a bunch of things you can do. I hope I've helped you in some way to move you in the right direction on that, William. Thank you for your great question down there in Texas. I appreciate it. If you would like to send us a question, you can do so just by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Leave us a 30-second voicemail question, anything that's on your mind in the real estate world, financing, et cetera, and we will help you get started or point you in the right direction. My thanks to all of you. If you are ready to take the plunge and start to invest in real estate, come on over and book a call with our team. 30 minutes, jump on the phone with us. It's totally free, and we will get you started in the real estate world. Thank you guys so much. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to build wealth. We'll see you next time.